You can see him on FS1, longtime NFLer. Here is Marcellus Wiley. I guess we'll start there, Marcellus, because I know on your show you guys talk about every issue. What do you make of the Brooklyn Nets giving this type of ultimatum to Kyrie Irving, where you either get vaxxed or you're just not a part of the team?
Yeah, based on today's circumstances, you got to make that mandate. We all know that playing team sports, everyone has to come in with some level of sacrifice. Despite the riches, despite the rewards, it still takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice. And too many times we've seen that sacrifice in physical rigor or something you have to deal in your own personal life. I think this is obviously unprecedented when it comes down to a vaccination being the issue at hand. But if you're Kyrie Irving, this is a complex problem to you, but a simple solution. Either you get vaxxed and you're part of the team and you can achieve your goals personally and as a team, or you got to sit on the sidelines with this one. So if I'm Kyrie Irving, you got to dig deep, do some soul searching, because we've all been there before where we take a stance on something that is fluid, and then your chances, your stance, everything about it changes over time. And you don't want to be in that situation because you'll be sitting there with a ton of regret. So if you're Kyrie Irving, hopefully what you're feeling right now is everlasting, because if not, you're going to feel sick to your stomach one day when you change your mind.
Well, I'm not sure this is an appropriate segue. I'm not sure you can find one into what happened with John Gruden over the course of the weekend, where the genesis of this was the NFL investigating the Washington football team for their antics and their toxic workplace environment, whatever you want to call it.
But how did his name pop up in those, Hayes?
Well, because Bruce Allen was the president of the club. He was emailing Allen, and Allen was using his work email. So they had access to him. They have access to like 650,000 emails, and, you know, jgruden84@hotmail.com or whatever kept coming up. And they're like, oh, that's John Gruden. And, you know, it was year after year after year of different emails and, you know, racist, misogynistic, homophobic. It's all there. And in the end, he's out. Whether he resigned, got fired, whatever it is, he's out. And I don't think we're going to see him again anytime soon. Is this a scenario where, because it went public, because of his position as the head coach, you always hear coaches in the NFL saying, we can't be the distraction. Well, he's the distraction, that it was inevitable he had to go? Or could you picture a scenario here, Marcellus, where he could have possibly worked this out and stuck around in Vegas?
Wow, tremendous question. The way it played out, not just in public's eye, but privately, they've had these emails for days, if not longer. I think there was someone involved having the aspiration and hopes that this could be resolved amicably, because it wouldn't have taken that many days, if not longer, for it to finally hit the fan. So someone had a rooting interest, and I can't really put my finger on it. Is it Mark Davis? He has a rooting interest both ways. Maybe he's happy with John Gruden. He's like a family friend to him, and he's like, look, we're going to try and work through this. Or maybe he has a rooting interest to get him off the hook of this 10-year, $100 million contract and trying to move on and trying to rebrand his team, rebrand his name, and really take hold and reins of a franchise that is still keeping him in the shadows of his late great father. You never know. It could be John Gruden in this situation. Somehow, some way, this was not only leaked, but also tried to be swept under the rug. We heard about the racial trope against Demaurice Smith, and that was days ago. And then we heard the avalanche of all the other emails that took it over the edge. But without that, what would have occurred? I think they were trying to move forward with John Gruden as the head coach. That said, man, in a world where we're trying to be progressive and people are trying to move forward, there's a lot of idealism going on that is separate from realism, that's separate from the reality. We all understand that. But in the efforts to close the gap between the idealistic and realistic, you can't do what John Gruden just did. there's no more private sphere. There's no more, oh, this is just between me and myself and I, because everything, as athletes know, I think the general public is starting to find out, everything is for public consumption. You leave your house right now and think you're having a little argument in your front lawn, someone has a camera phone. It's going viral. It's coming out. And I think what you're seeing is two things collapsing right before our very eyes is, one, there's no more of a private domain, even through email, personal email. I mean, they even lie and say it's personal email. It's not personal. As soon as we know who you are, it's going to be public. That, and then, you know, the NFL is being progressive. The NFL is trying to change some of the things that they slept on and things they want to move forward with, which is opening up their borders to more than just men, to women, to gay, to black, to everyone involved with the consumption of their sport. So it's a smart thing to do. Unfortunately, it only really changes the top layer. So people are just going to be sneakier and have better decorum in terms of how they do these same things. And I think that's the separation of what's ideal and what's real.
Well, Marcellus, the next question that's going to come up with what's happened with Urban Meyer and now Gruden, like the question is going to come up, is there a culture issue or problem in the NFL? And do you not see that question being asked with these two head coaches within the last 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. It could be asked. And then I'll point to society at large and say, do we have a social issue as well? Like, the NFL is a safe haven in compared to general society in every single respect you want to name. Every single crime you can say and commit, the NFL is safer by per capita than it is in general society. It's come up many a times when domestic violence was running wild in the NFL circles and conversation, and now it's going to turn to this in terms of cultural aspects. But the NFL, compared to real life, large society, pales in comparison in terms of its infractions. But yeah, we're imperfect beings in society at large and in the NFL as well. Like, you get these players who are people first from society, from the world. And so you're going to have world's issues in an NFL place. But I don't think it's really a tremendous issue. I think that John Gruden got laced and caught up in something that a lot of people are guilty of, but a lot of people haven't been caught of. It's like this old school slash kind of like fraternal mindset that maybe to your core you don't mean it. Maybe to your core you do mean it. But you're playing into a world that lends itself to just being insensitive. And being real, playing football in the NFL at times is insensitive. Hey, coach, guess what? My leg hurts. I can't feel my toes. Hey, you got a choice to make, brother. You want to play or not? If not, I give your job up. I can go through thousands of examples of insensitivity that happens in the NFL all the time. And some of them you could turn a blind eye to, and some of them you can't. John Gruden, you can't attack the commissioner and then attack Demora Smith and then attack racial groups and then attack people's sexual orientation. You can't go that far and expect to have employment the next day.
We're chatting with Marcellus Wiley of FS1, longtime NFLer. So in terms of the games themselves, there was a lot to take out of this weekend. I think where Kansas City currently stands probably comes to mind first, because they have been the rock stars of rock stars for two straight years, going to the Super Bowl, even the year before that, going to an AFC championship game. And now people are coming at them. Like, now you get a lot of analysts saying this team's just a bad football team. Their defense is historically terrible. They've got one or two options offensively for Mahomes to hit. They got no run game whatsoever. Their offensive line is still not really doing what they're supposed to. And Mahomes turning the ball over a lot. Like, he's human. He is human right now. Are you on the panic bandwagon when it comes to Kansas City?
I am. I'm kind of towards the front of the bandwagon, if not driving it. I remember after the Super Bowl doing some deeper analysis and coming up with saying, hey, you guys keep talking about this dynasty of the Kansas City Chiefs. There will be no dynasty. And it wasn't a hot take, because I don't subscribe to hot takes, but sometimes you could be a little too early. And maybe I was too early for everyone's consumption. You had the entire offseason after the Super Bowl, 6 months of people telling you you're stupid. And I'm like, okay. Now you look up, they've lost four of their last six games. And you start to realize, maybe. I think what's happening first and foremost is they're drunk off their own Kool-Aid. I remember when they won their first Super Bowl, and then everyone on the team included was talking about 4, 5, 6. Hey, if Jordan could get 6, why can't we? And I was like, whoa, they forgot what they're doing. You cannot skip steps in the NFL, in life in general, but certainly not the NFL. As Tom Brady always reminds every single team he's on, we're never defending our championship. We're just trying to go out there and win this year's championship. It felt like the Kansas City Chiefs were not only trying to return to defend a championship, but to defend a dynasty that they never created. It's crazy. So it's starting to look real parallel to early Russell Wilson, Seattle. When you saw this tremendous quarterback on the rise, and you're like, oh, look at this team. And at that time, they had the big defense, and they were looking good with the running game. And then you take care of your quarterback, and things change. Look at Patrick Mahomes right now, and he's changed. He believes in his arm so much, not just in confidence, but maybe cockiness, that he's using that as his primary resource. And that's not this primary resource of this team. This team needs to have balance still to have an effective passing game. They need to play defense for them to have success. The 1 year that they were average on defense is the 1 year they win the Super Bowl. The other 2 years when they were below average on defense, you saw the results. They came up short. So this is a team right now really needs to do some soul searching. They can mess around, especially because of the division they're in, and about the playoffs.
Marcellus, I just wanted to ask about the kickers, and you know, obviously they had a tough weekend, and I don't know if you saw the Green Bay game, 5 in a row, and even last night. It's just, you know, what do you say? I feel like I'm asking you every week, what do you say to these kickers? You rely on them, but you know, if you've been in, I don't know if you've been involved in a game like that where both kickers couldn't end the game for you.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Kickers didn't have a tough week; they have a tough life. Like, everything that they do comes down to, what, 3 opportunities a week? Maybe 5 if you're lucky or unlucky. Depends on your offense. But the point is, so much emphasis is placed on just that one kick. And it's like almost being an airline pilot. There's no mistakes. Like, okay, you can't, like, kind of land the plane. You got to land it or not. And that's how kickers' mindset are, and that's what they go into these games feeling, that type of pressure. It's really insane what is asked of them, and most of the time they deliver. But when they don't, oh, my God, it's going to be headline news. So I got full respect for kickers just because I would hate for my entire game where I get to play 60, 70 snaps, have to really boil down to just 2 or 3 plays every week. That will be a lot different of an experience. So I got respect to the kickers, even though sometimes they're going to come up short.
Yep, and we saw that on multiple occasions over the weekend, and surely we will see it again in Week 6 and beyond. Enjoy it, Marcellus. We'll do it again next Monday. Thank you for this, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care up there, brother.
There's Marcellus Wiley of FS1.